Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Guys, get excited. We have a vlogger approved, fan favorite, tech obsessed episode of Fat Mascara. I'm Jen.
I'm Jess.
Are you excited?
I'm very excited.
What are we going to talk about before I introduce our major guest?
First, we're going to catch up on the week because it's been a while since I've seen you.
It's true.
We're going to talk about BeautyCon. Mm-hmm. And we're going to catch up on your European adventures.
Oh, you're going to love that.
Then we're going to talk about something a bit more serious, trichotillomania, which is the hair pulling disease. Disease may not be a clinical term, but it's a serious problem. And then beauty sleep. Are you getting enough? And our little secrets to faking it.
Oh, that just sounded very Beauty Mag. I like it. Our guest is Moj Madera, CEO of BeautyCon. She's basically our new beauty content fairy godmother. I, like, want to go home in her pocket.
She's so freaking awesome. I love her.
Let's get into it.
You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come.
It's so weird to do the podcast with you now, and I don't see you every day.
I know.
I haven't seen you in like 10 days, I feel like.
It's very depressing.
It's been since our cultural panel, which was a blast, and we had such great participation. So
great participation.
That was cool. What have you been up to? What did you do this weekend?
Oh my God, Saturday was a doozy. Yazzie, our new intern, and I headed to BeautyCon, and I'm still recovering.
I was so jealous. I saw that picture of you guys because I was away. I wish I could have been there. Set the scene for me. What was it like?
Set the scene. Okay, well, we got there. The cab dropped me off, and he was like, I think this is where you need to be. And I walked by literally, 8 miles of girls, and I was looking for the press check-in. Yeah. But people were, camping out. I looked at the girls at the very front of the line. I was like, you did it. And they just looked at me like, the doors hadn't opened yet. I'm telling you, I've never seen so many young women in my life in one place. And then once we got in there, every time a new influencer were to come out, you would see a huge shift. I didn't even see the influencer, the vlogger. Just a sea of people would just run to one side of the...
Did you just go along with them?
No, I was in we were in a VIP area.
Oh, shut up right now.
Having some snacks and talking to this man about face masks. But It was incredible.
Is that the guy you put on our Insta?
Yeah, he's amazing. Bob from 100% Pure. Check out our Insta. They had an amazing DJ. There was this guy who was so hot.
Wait, I thought you said it was all young women.
No, there was a guy that they hired who to like test concealer on people, and he was like shirtless, and he was just like dancing around to like be like, try this concealer.
And you liked that?
Oh my God. It was just fun. I was just in hog heaven between the makeup and this guy and the snacks. I was just, and the cool music. Like, they almost had to drag me out. Yeah. It was like the most bizarre, like, beauty, girly wonderland ever.
Fab.
Dude, they pulled it off. And I also got free makeup.
Well, you can't say no to that.
I got the line for Lime Crime, I have to say.
Yeah.
Was like seven rows deep.
I feel like so, I was having a very different experience.
Yeah, tell me about your like fancy schmancy European vacation.
With like an editor from the Financial Times and Monocle and whatever. I was so out of my element. But I did want to
Monocle.
No, I was in Portugal reporting a story on this Portuguese soap company, Klaus Porto. But here's my takeaway that I wanted to bring back and discuss with you.
Okay.
I'm the most awkward American bumblefuck ever. I get to Europe and I don't know how to say hello to people. So have you noticed this being a beauty editor? Over the last 15 years, I've learned, okay, like you say nice to see you, not nice to meet you, just in case you've met somebody from before. And then like I often go in for a handshake and I feel like I have to have met you three times before I go in for like a half sideways hug. So in Portugal, I was sitting there watching, someone new will come up to a table. Every single person will stand up and we're going to do double kiss.
Ew.
Double kiss left, right. Not a kiss, though. It's like sort of in the air, like near the cheek.
Yeah, you're just going to kiss their aura.
What do you do with the Europeans? Like, do I just be an American and be like, hey, nice to meet you. Here's a handshake, partner. Like, what do you do?
I don't know. I think like when in Europe you do the double.
Like I'm going to go double kiss a stranger?
You just do the double. Yeah, I just do the double.
Do you know what?
Well, you know what? I think you just kind of like stand there and just kind of like just like get loose. Just like loosen up.
Okay.
And just kind of like lean in like and
let
follow.
Let them do what they will with me?
Yeah, just like follow their cues. Just like dead fish it.
Like if they go in for the kiss, I'm just loose and
yeah,
ready
just
for
like,
it?
Yeah, just kind of like you can't see me, but just kind of be a little bit like relaxed about the whole thing.
Do you know what I ended up doing, which was not that
headbutting them?
No, I would put up, okay, pictured like jazz hands. I would put up two hands in front of me and like wave them like, hello.
Oh my God.
Which is sort of like waving you away.
Like get the fuck away from me. Get the hell away from me.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm supposed to hug you. So I would just be like, hello. And then when I was leaving, because they want to do the kisses again when you leave, I would just like put up the jazz hands and then back away slowly, waving them in the air.
That's amazing.
Editors like pointed out, she's like, you're like the weird, like, what are you doing, jazz hands? I was like, no, that's like my double-handed goodbye, American goodbye. It was so awkward.
But you know what's weird? It's this very topical that you bring this up. I had a meeting with someone today for an Italian brand, and this woman's as American as they come.
Yeah.
She goes in for the double kiss.
Oh.
Just because you work for an Italian brand doesn't mean you're Italian.
Okay, so the rule is go with what country you're in and where you're from.
That's what I think.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Americans go for the double kiss, you're like...
All right, lady.
You're not fooling anyone.
Yeah.
Or you could just do like me and just like wave them away like an air traffic like, controller.
Like you're doing like little windmills, little pom-pom, little shimmy-shimmy.
I'm so glad.
Jen, I'm going to give you like a little secret. You can tell if I'm totally nervous or stressed if I'm like yanking clumps of my hair out.
Oh, you're like a puller.
I'm a secret puller. Now, here's the thing. I want to take the shame, the stigma out of hair pulling. Okay. And no better time because did you know there's a week for everything? It is International No Pulling Week.
Really?
I know. I learned that like very recently. But seriously, all joking aside, I would never, you know, some people have really big problems with pulling, like their, you know, major hair loss, like crippling anxiety about it. It's not that bad. But I've like it's the kind of thing where my mom has been like, are you doing that again, or stop doing that, or like it's something that like my mother is aware of, because I've always kind of like pulled at one part of my hair.
Like, is this like a habit or a disorder or a disease? Like, what are we talking about?
I don't know.
It's in the DSM-4.
Is that what they call it? DSM-4. But it's a legit problem. It's in trichotillomania, and okay. I'm going to call it trick so that nobody has to hear me say that again. And it's a legit problem that a lot of women have.
It's more prevalent with women, mm-hmm. I would assume.
There are thought to be 100 million people with trick worldwide. 82% of them are female.
Yeah.
And it's actually, and I'm not saying this in like a kind of, well, you'll, you know, it'll sound weird when I say it. It's very often happens to people that are like perfectionists. This is kind of anecdotal thing. We can't blood test for this. But people who are like a little bit type A. I don't really think I'm type A at all. But like, you'll see, I think, with like women a lot who are like, I'm just trying to get things done.
And what age did you start doing this?
I actually started doing it, I remember, in sixth grade, because I remember being in like in front of this boy, Paul. I won't say his last name in case he's listening, but
I'm pretty sure he's not. But okay.
Paul from Colts Neck, New Jersey. I remember sitting in front of him, and he raised his hand and told the teacher, like, tell her to stop doing that with her hair because it's all over my desk. And I was mortified.
So you absentmindedly, when mm-hmm. you're stressed out, will just pluck hairs out of your own
yeah,
hair.
Yeah, yeah.
To the point of what? That he could see a pile of them on his
oh,
desk?
Yeah. There was like a huge pile.
Oh, Jess.
I know. It was crazy. So, and then when I had a job once that was super stressful, like it was nuts. I had like, there was like a pile of red hair. Like I actually like picked it up so that the cleaning lady would not like think that there was like a murder or something. Long story short, there is no cure. I spoke to Lucinda Ellery, who is one of the premier experts worldwide in trick. Yeah. She is also an expert with hair loss. She said that trick is not something that you'll ever be cured of.
So what do you do? If you think you're one of these people who has trick, do you go to the doctor? Do you like cope somehow?
I mean, I think like you can certainly like, so it's very much rooted with anxiety with a lot of people. So, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I would say maybe look into that and, you know, talk to somebody.
So what do you do when you feel the urge now?
Well, what I try to do is I actually put my hair like in a ponytail because it's not like it's kind of like a little training mechanism. But again, I don't have it that badly. So
right.
That's not like a cure all for everyone. Lucinda said that like to get the soothing sensation, you can rub your forefinger across the pad of your thumb and it simulates the action that you take to identify a hair that you would like otherwise pluck.
I'm rubbing right now.
You don't have the same sensation. Like, you don't have tricky tendencies. So okay. I don't expect this to do anything for you.
And that would be soothing.
Mm-hmm. It's a soothing thing.
Okay.
Then also taking the time to learn to do, like, deep breathing and deep breathing exercises for, like, 1 to 2 minutes a day. That can help give you the same sort of sense of peace and tranquility as it would, like, if you were going to, like, you know, pull your hair out.
What if you really do think you have this? Is there anywhere you can go?
There is. There's a website called trichotillomania.supportgroups.com.
We better put a link to that because you're not about to spell that out for us.
No, we'll put a link to it. But I think Lucinda said something that really stuck with me. And she's like, the first thing you need to do is you have to like realize that you shouldn't be shameful about it. Like that this is a real thing. A lot of people, when I was researching this, I was so surprised. I was reading like posts from people saying like, oh my God, I had this too. I didn't know that this is a problem. I didn't even know this had a name. There's just really not a lot of awareness for it.
So Jess, you're telling me about your trick got me thinking about self-soothing.
Self-soothing.
And okay. I remember Lisa Eldridge is one of the people that self-soothes you. You like to watch her videos on YouTube and you calm down from them. So I forgot to tell you. I got to interview her last week. She's like her voice even coming through the phone was super soothing.
I'm so jealous.
But you know what she brought up, which got me thinking? Like she's a sleeper. Like she loves sleep. She does naps. She does like 9 hours a night. She has a whole ritual. And I realized I actually have a beauty sleep ritual too. Do you?
Lately, it's been a little wonky, but I kind of do, yeah.
I mean, but people always say derms, too. Like, sleep yeah. is, like, what makes you look good, makes your skin look good, and everything like that. So one of her tricks is actually one of my tricks, so I wanted to share.
Share. What is it?
Okay. So you know how you have these lovely skin creams and products that you want to use,
mm-hmm.
but then you're, like, brushing your teeth and you're in the bathroom. You're like, oh, I just want to get in bed. I don't want to do the whole rigmarole.
Yeah.
So I about 6 months ago moved my skincare regimen to my nightstand table and put it in the drawer. And now I like brush my teeth real quick and get out of the gross bathroom, you know,
yeah.
New York, and get into my nice bed. And then I do my serum and my cream that are in my nightstand table because you take the time to like slowly
right.
put it on.
You're already in a luxurious space.
Exactly. So that's part of my ritual. I've been using the Skin Medica night cream. It's amazing. So that was part of it.
Your skin does look good, especially for someone who's been traveling a lot.
It's this illuminating eye cream from Skin Medica. And so I like rub it all around. I do that. And then I put another moisturizer on top, always switch it up. And then I do my roll-on essential lavender oil on my hands and do deep breaths with it. And then I turn on the humidifier. And then I pull the blackout shades.
Yeah, you put on the humidifier year-round?
Yes. Well, as soon as the heat goes on, which should be happening.
Oh yeah,
soon.
Oh yeah. I have a humidifier too, but I need to dust that puppy off.
Tell me, what is your beauty sleep ritual? Oh God.
Well, I always take a very hot shower before bed. Hot. I refuse to go into the bed dirty. Like
That's
if I come
not
home,
beauty editor approved. By the way,
why?
It's very drying. You just told me your skin was itchy not 10 minutes ago. Am I
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Literally, you're melting your lipid barrier.
Well, no,
with
but
that
then
hot
I
water.
But then I put body butter on after.
It doesn't matter. You already melted away all those.
All
good
right.
Lipids.
Well, okay. I like a nice hot shower. I need to literally wash the disgusting day off of me.
Okay. Hot shower.
Hot shower. Then I brush the teeth. And I like potter over to the bed, and I usually put on like most of my face creams there. But
oh,
then
you do that too?
No. By the bathroom, but I leave my oils by my bed because the oil is the final step. And I use the Kiehl's Midnight Recovery Oil, and I like gently like press it into my skin before bed.
Yes.
And then sometimes it depends. I have that little EO. Do you know that brand EO?
Everyday Organics. Yes.
Sometimes, only a couple times a week, it should be more of a thing you're inspiring me. I'll pop it onto my pillow, not my pillowcase, but the pillow, and I'll get that lavender going to try to soothe me. But then once that's done and I put my body butter on, I'm in the bed and it's like conk out time.
Last question.
Yeah.
Do you do one of those eye mask covers, like silk eye mask?
Only if like my boyfriend's reading and I don't want to like stop him because I can tell he's enjoying it.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like...
That's
my little like...
Well,
hack.
Lisa Eldridge is big into the sleep eye mask. She has one with lavender sachets in it.
Mm.
I just feel very constricted when there's like... I don't want like a rope around my head while I'm going to sleep. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mine is so stretched out. It's like a belt.
Is it just that like ends up around your neck like
Yeah.
I feel like I'd wake up from a dream thinking I was choking. I'm not about the eye mask. But other than that, I'm like all about Lisa and her tips and yours.
All right. It's not often that we talk about supplements, but when we do, you know that we mean it. All right. Every day I do my skincare routine, and that is a cleanse. I moisturize. Of course, I pop a little antioxidant in there. I'll do a little serum underneath there. But what is non-negotiable for me lately is I take a supplement. That is my Ritual Hyacera. It's a wrinkle support skin supplement, which is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and improve skin smoothness. I'll take that.
I'll take it too. Ritual Hyacera is a once daily skin supplement. Jess said clinically proven. Let me give you the deets. In a clinical study, Hyacera led to a 3.6 time reduction in crow's feet wrinkles within 90 days as compared to placebo. Jess and I have been taking it more than 90 days. Let me tell you, it works. Plus, Ritual Hyacera has led to a 2.9 times increase in skin smoothness in the same amount of times. It's rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. You don't always know if a supplement does that. Ritual also has industry-leading sustainability standards. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, love that, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. Plus, female-founded, B Corp, meaning they're holding themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of the people and our planet. You gotta love that.
Yes, okay. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust.
Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/mascara. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/mascara for 25% off. Okay, everyone, guess what I did last night? I slept in my Honeylove bra. I don't think I've ever slept in a bra before. Usually, I am so excited to take off my bra at the end of the day, there would be no chance I would lay down in it. But Honeylove bras are that comfortable. And if you're someone who does like to sleep in a bra for a little extra support, I feel like the Honeylove crossover bra should be your sleeping bra. Did I just coin a thing, sleeping bra? I don't know if they'll approve of that, but I love the idea. Obviously, you're gonna wear it out all the time too, because Honeylove's bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for uncomfortable wires. Plus, they're made with a fabric that's so soft, it feels like a second skin. Is it spring cleaning time in your house? I know it is in mine. Clean out your bra drawer, get a few from Honeylove. They have the V-neck bra that's smooth and seamless and hardware-free. And then my personal favorite is the crossover bra with adjustable straps and a hook back closure. And of course, again, no underwire in that one either. The Honeylove supportive bonding lifts and supports without those uncomfortable wires. And while you're at it, why not pair your Honeylove bra with their matching shapewear or maybe a pair of their breathable, versatile leggings? Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. It's honeylove.com/mascara. And then after you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we here at Fat Mascara sent you. Honeys, you deserve this. Again, that website is honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. Okay, so there are some stories about my mom's life that I never get tired of hearing, and they're usually the ones in which she's trying to right some injustice and then ends up annoying the people in power, and I love that about her. Anyway, just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve memories and stories for the mother figure in your life or any of your family or chosen family. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. The prompts are really good. The kind of things we ask guests here at Fat Mascara, little things like, what's your favorite board game? And more important things like, what's the best advice you've ever gotten? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to the email with a story, long or short, doesn't matter. You'll be emailed a copy of what they wrote, but they'll also be collected. So you'll get to enjoy the retelling of the stories and probably learn some new things in the process. Then, after that year of fun, Storyworth automatically compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book. Even though I know some of my mom's best stories, I love that the weekly prompts are helping to uncover more details and that they'll be collected in one place for me to revisit and read through. Don't think I'm not going to pull this keepsake book out at our next family get-together to share some of them. Listen, everyone loves Storyworth. It has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over 10 years ago. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/mascara. That's storyworth.com/mascara to save $10 on your first purchase.
We're so excited to have Moj Madera here. She is the CEO of BeautyCon, and let me just tell you, I went to BeautyCon on Saturday, and I am like still feeling good energy. There were so many people, I literally felt like I was at a One Direction concert, and there was a shirtless guy who was like a close cousin. He looked like a close cousin of Harry Styles, walking around like tempting me to like conceal my under-eye bags or something, and I don't know, it was... The whole thing was sexy and awesome, and I had so much fun. I literally had to be almost like dragged out by Yazzie, our amazing intern who's here today. So
welcome. Hi.
Yeah,
welcome.
I mean, it was incredible. I can't believe you're here. The queen of BeautyCon is here. Holy cow. So let me just say, for the uninitiated, what is BeautyCon?
This is the big question that everyone wants to know. BeautyCon started as a conference. When it was originally created in 2012, it was a conference. I did not start that conference. I was a heat-seeking missile looking for a content creator business in 2013. I'd sold two companies previously, and I was looking for the next gen of content and commerce.
Right.
So I essentially invested in the company, and then 6 months later became their CEO, and essentially pivoted the company from a conference business into a festival business, built on the media portion, our digital studio, and then launched our subscription box. So it's a fully integrated digital brand.
Festival sounds way more fun.
It's 100% a festival. We loathe the word conference.
Yeah. And so we're beauty girls. We're both beauty editors. Were you a beauty person before this, or you were looking purely for the next big thing in content?
I was not a beauty person. I have dated many beauty people, so I feel like I've always had a close understanding of what that means. But I guess that makes me sound kind of like scandalous in a way, but no.
What does it mean to be a beauty person? I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, I'm trying to read between the lines.
No, I mean, like, in a sense, uh-oh. I'm, you know, living with people who consume a ton of beauty products. Like, you have to know what those products are and what they mean.
So do you not consume a ton of beauty products?
I'm a consumer of, like, hair products, shampoos, conditioners, smells, lotions, potions. I don't necessarily put on, like, concealer, foundation.
Just not color cosmetics.
Yeah, not color cosmetics.
Okay.
But so I like stuff. I mean, I have drawers and drawers of stuff.
That's sort of why I'm into beauty. Like, it's collectible, even if you don't want it.
It's totally collectible. What drew me to the audience, though, was the fandom.
Yeah.
The fandom was, like, something I'd never seen in my entire career. I'd never seen anything. And as someone who, I think I sold year one, two, and three sponsorship for Coachella as a consultant. Like, I mean, I've gotten to work on some awesome projects throughout my career. But so much of what you work on when you're marketing brands is trying to create this, like, super visceral connection. And I'd never seen something that was essentially just happening, regardless of anyone paying for it.
Now, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, so the thing, when you say the fandom.
Fandom.
I feel like that is increased so much, like, just in the past, you know, 5 years or so, maybe certainly like 10. Like, it went from being, I remember, you know, there would be like only relatively few girls who were like super into makeup. You would have like a little kind of clique of girls who really got what you meant when you were talking about like Urban Decay or, you know, Hard Candy. But now, like, beauty is like this explosive culture. Everybody, my mother knows Urban Decay Naked palettes. You know, this, she's not the demo. Why do you think this is? Like, I don't think you could have done BeautyCon, you know, when I was 14.
No, not even 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It is because the rise of the social star. It's the convergence of beyond blogger and into vlogger. The vlogger created like a multidimensional touch point for a consumer where you came to know how they groomed and got the looks that they had, but you also saw heartache, you saw frustration, you saw things that they were going through with their friends, their families. I mean, if you watch like a Candy Johnson video, like, you completely understand like what it's like to be a mom of four and be single,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think beauty for so long had been a concealer culture of like covering something up that's wrong with you and perfecting something that was imperfect rather than the video stars that you see today are actually like minorities that you've never seen represented in traditional media. Like these are people who would never be on the covers of magazines inside Condé and Hearst.
Right.
But they're massive stars.
But there's like YouTube stars that cook in their kitchen, which I think of as some of those girls you get to know their personal life too.
Sure.
And that they're the same idea. But for some reason, like, the food industry hasn't quite been able to connect in the way the beauty industry has. Do you think that's because these are younger women that tend to be the beauty?
Women are kind of tribal in a way.
Yeah.
Like, women tend to, like, if you like something, don't you tell 10 people about it? Like, women are 10 times more likely to share than men, right? Like, if you mm-hmm. like something, mm-hmm. if you hate something, like, you're more likely to talk about it
right.
than a guy.
Oh, so true.
Right?
Yeah.
It's very, very
never
true.
Talks.
Like, we use social more than guys do.
Yeah.
We communicate. We tweet more. We put up, we're power players on social channels. Like, we're just far more communicative than for example, like, maybe the gaming audience.
So
right.
true.
What is the BeautyCon audience? Like, what's the age, do you think?
So we say, like, 18 to 28, 9.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So is that even no, it's like Gen Z and
Gen Z millennial.
Okay.
It's a very young millennial, older Gen Z.
Got it. Okay, so thinking about these these young women and content creators and young men, tons actually.
Gender fluidity.
These are just people who are willing to open up their lives to other people via video. You've met a lot of them in the last couple of years.
Friends with.
Yeah. So tell me, when you meet a new content creator, is there like, what is it about them that you're like, oh, this one's going to be a winner? Is there anything that has helped you over the last couple of years realize like, okay, this is, she or he is going to go far?
I think when you create content that's very niche, you end up having very large audiences. Mm-hmm. So like,
you can't be everything to everyone.
Yeah, you can't be everything to everyone. So like Mac Daddy, he's like the king of like contouring, and like he's like the king of that. That's like what he does, you know. Graveyard Girl, she's like absolutely owns the like, does this really work? You know, like she's not like, and I'm cooking, and I'm like, they're very. I think niche audiences are really powerful. I think anytime I see a creator want to stand somewhere for 3 hours meeting all of their fans, I know that they're gonna be huge.
Oh, so they need to be devoted. Like, do you think
100%? Yes.
Because I think like, and I hear this from, you know, peers of mine. It's like, oh, like, you know, these people, they make so much money and like they don't even work. Like, I'll just take a, you know, selfie of me applying lipstick. Like, it's a very dismissive
about,
tone.
Like a blogger. Mm-hmm. That's like more of a blogger mentality, right? Mm-hmm.
Like, but these girls and guys like hustle.
Major hustle.
Yeah.
I mean, I have been to like South by Southwest with Graveyard Girl, who stood outside, like we did a pop-up with Refinery, and she was there from like 4 p.m. till like maybe 10 mm-hmm. that night. I've seen Candy Johnson stand in a parking lot and meet maybe 4,000 fans over the course of 7 hours and like at most take like a 15-minute lunch. Like they're kind of like sports stars in a way. Yeah. I think like sports is maybe the most adjacent culture that you could sort of relate it to. And it's strange because beauty for such a long time was such a refined culture,
right?
And now it's been disrupted by all of these like very raw, real people.
Do you think that editors are doing a decent job, and obviously feel free to say absolutely not, of like of trying to, I guess, like meet their readers halfway? I mean, so many editors have become personalities onto themselves, like with Instagram certainly, but it's still not kind of that. It's not quite the same.
I think the beauty editor is in a hard spot. It's challenging.
Because we can't like totally be ourselves, or because it just doesn't seem like we're still kind of establishment. Now this is just totally about me.
It's just like it's tricky, right? You're in a transition where what the values of your brand are, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so like if your creator, like your makeup Shayla, that's like your brand is your brand.
Yeah.
There's no one like, hey, it's like really off brand for you to do this or that. But like for you, like you have to sort of embody like the brand of like everything that
this
it means.
Is why I'll never be this.
Yeah. The legacy, the history of it all. Like right. You have to really withhold a standard. And like I think that's great too. Like it's all like I don't think like it's not like I think magazines are going away or that somehow like Hearst and Time Inc. and Condé are gonna like disappear from Earth. Mm-hmm. I think they're just all becoming different things.
Yeah.
And I think the competition has actually made the content better for fans and consumers, and I think people are having more access to stuff than ever, and I think that's kind of awesome, actually. I think, like, there's, like, an amazing shareability and information that maybe, like, 5 years ago you weren't really getting your hands on. Mm-hmm. Like, within a few months, like, something can go from, like, a not-known product to, like, a completely known product. And I think, like, think about the person behind that brand. Like, how happy are they that they actually have a business?
It's incredible, know? Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
And someone like Graveyard Girl, just I'm going to use her as an example. Like, she's done product collaborations. Like, she had, like, a Tarte palette or an Ulta palette, whatever it was. Have you found that anybody loses credibility a little bit when they start to sell their own products? Or am I just thinking, like, old school, like, Gen X that I am, and that's, like, because I think that way. I'm like, oh, they're selling out to the man. But then I look at my niece, and she's like, no, that's awesome. There's even more stuff to consume from her.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Gen X values and Gen Z values don't even belong in the same place.
So what are the values of the people that are watching these shows that they're okay to be like, sure, I'll buy that from
she
you?
She just trusts her as, like, a, like, your curator, I trust you to, like, tell me what's good. And if she starts telling them stuff that sucks, they're not going to trust her anymore.
But inherently not quite as cynical as maybe someone like me is?
She's incredibly, I mean, she
is. Graveyard Girl is, for sure.
But she takes a ton of care. I mean, like, I can think of, okay, I was working on a campaign with Candy, and there was a fast food company that wanted a partnership with her. And she, like, wouldn't do it.
because it wasn't true to her.
Not true to her. I can think of like four things that I've talked to Bunny about that were like great, great opportunities, high value, like brand integrations. Pass, because it's, she would never, ever, ever, ever like do anything that could hurt her relationship with her mm-hmm. Swamp family. Because like the way mm-hmm. they think of their audience is like the Swamp family.
Yeah.
So right. if she, the, I think the integrity level is really high.
Got it.
Like there's never been a
like
time.
She's not going to do dry eye commercials for like, you know, like something that doesn't make sense.
Unless she like legitimately has like
that kind of integrity.
Dry eyes. But again, like think about
sorry,
it. Like
random example.
Yeah, a good example isn't that Jennifer Aniston that's doing that? She's got the dry eyes.
Yeah, it's like.
I'm like, did you really have the dry
that's
eyes?
That's what I'm saying. That was my first question.
Did you really? Yeah, but drinking all that smart water.
I believed her with the water and with
like
the vino.
Yeah. Moisture going. Yeah.
Moisture.
Oh my God, she's cornered the market on moisture.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, she's got the Aveeno body lotion. Yes,
I know. Aveeno.
Yeah, we're gonna see something like. Yeah, I'm getting too. Dirty.
I'm sure someone was like, "Oh my God, I had dry eye and I didn't even know it," but like yeah. they realized it from Jennifer Aniston.
Where did you grow up?
I was born in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm the oldest of three girls.
So is our intern Yazzie. She's like cheering
nice.
In the background.
Then we moved to Erie, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
My dad's
okay.
a chemical engineer.
A hotbed of content creation.
My boyfriend's a chemical engineer.
Then my parents, oh, nice. Yeah. Then my parents were like, we're moving to California. And I was like, great. I'm going to go via VJ. And I'm going to
like for MTV?
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to work for MTV. It's going to 100% be my destiny. And they're like, we are not even allowing you to have that in the house. That is not allowed.
Oh, your parents were strict.
Oh, so, like, I have first generation, you know, my parents are Iranian American parents who came to this country for the good of their family.
Yeah.
Don't you know what the level of that means?
No, but this brings up a good question.
Yes, okay.
Okay, so I just did Ancestry DNA. I'm adopted, so I confirmed that I'm half Iranian. Mm. So I was like, oh.
Well, I can see it.
Oh, you see it?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm part of the people.
I can see it.
Let me let the brows shine.
Yeah.
So I'm on like a little like quest of like learning more. What should I know about the Iranian culture that like.
We love food.
Oh, nice. So what's like the best Iranian dish that I need to try?
Warma sabzi.
Mm. Is that. What
it's
is
a,
that?
It's a stew
where
of greens.
Can we go?
It's like all. It's like 10 different herbs chopped together with like lamb and beef and stewed together for like over 5 hours. It's amazing. It's like the most delicious thing ever. I crave it like whenever I'm not feeling happy. I don't want that.
But do you make it or like do you go
I can make it too.
Really?
I've learned to make it recently.
You cook too?
I do. I love to cook. That's like that is the one thing that I would love to do. Once I can find like 3 months of time, you will definitely find me in Paris like learning how to be a wannabe master chef. Like,
you're gonna take some time off.
Yeah,
you're gonna relax.
I like say this, but my fiance is like, you lie. I think so. I have to.
Okay.
I mean, between BeautyCon and my last company, there was 1 year that I kind of just like I did like 5 real estate projects where I like bought crappy old houses and fixed them and flipped them.
Let's talk about the box for a quick second. Tell me about the BeautyCon box because people were like going a little crazy over that. On Saturday.
The BeautyCon box is a box that comes to your house 4 times a year. It's a subscription. It's got an awesome little package on the top that teaches you how to do your own haul. Do you guys know how to do
it? Oh, yes. Okay, but great. For those who don't know, it's like you like go online, right? And then you like show everything you got at a store.
Yeah. It's like your haul video. An infomercial of hauling our product.
Mm-hmm.
It's all full-size products. It's a blend of beauty and non-beauty products. So it's like lifestyle. We've done everything from like Starbucks cards to Nike gift cards, tons of different beauty. Like, we do, like, 10 different beauty products per box. It's all full size. No samples.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we don't like samples. Samples are kind of annoying.
They're kind of, yeah.
They bother me. I mean, they bother me. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, for a haul especially. I don't want to be pulling out, like, a teeny tiny
Yeah, like a sample
perfume.
Thing. Yeah. And they're a blend of, like, traditional beauty brands and indie brands.
Do you think the beauty box model is going to continue to grow or have we reached like satiation point?
We like the beauty box.
Saturation point.
No, I don't think the saturation point's there at all. I think that there's been some early pioneers in the space, a la Birchbox and Ipsy, which are both great boxes. But I think personalization is going to be bigger than ever. So I'm excited next year as we get into the personalization around the box based on what you like, what you need. And I think that what's cool for us is what we learn about you from the box. So as we learn more and more about our fans, then we'll start to be able to develop our own white label products.
I want to know what would be in like the Moj box?
So it would probably be a pair of Yeezys. I always need the new, like, very thin Ray-Bans that I completely break, and they're just, like, my favorite pair of glasses that I buy, like, 20 of at a time, but not 20, but, like, two, but I always need a new pair of those. I'm always trying hair stuff, so I'm, like, obsessed with hair, like, wax, not gels, but, like, lotions, potions, different sunscreens. I don't know.
Someone What's your current favorite in the wax, lotions, potions category?
I like Baxter a lot lately right now.
Oh, of yeah. California, like
yeah,
you.
It smells really good. And I like it because it holds, but it's not so greasy that I feel like I've got, like, something sitting on top
like
of my
head. Like a rockabilly situation.
Yeah, I hate that rocket. Yeah, that's not my vibe.
What about fragrance?
Le Labo.
God, they're really killing
Which
it,
one,
aren't
though?
They?
The Santal.
Oh, I can usually smell it when people.
I know.
Yeah, I'm not wearing it today.
Okay, I was going to say my nose is down. Then what's going on?
All I had left was the lotion, and I didn't want to, like, whenever I fly with it, it explodes everywhere.
Don't waste that stuff.
I don't waste it.
Exactly. What about sunscreen? You're a California girl. And
I use this Control Corrective. My dermatologist gives it to me. I have a very fabulous dermatologist, Shawnee Darden. She's, like, the most epic thing ever. Like,
Control Corrective?
Control Collective. Here. Okay.
Do I have it?
All right, she's rustling through her monogram Goyard.
She always packs me out with this Pro Heal Serum.
And what does that do?
It basically is, like, a super intense healer. It, like, just gives you, I don't know, it gives your skin life. Is what she says.
You know, I saw you, and you seem like you had some life in your skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look good.
This is what it is. Yeah. This little tube right here.
Little droplet.
Yeah. It's called Is Clinical.
Wow. We know this. Yeah, yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. You have, what else, what's in your little hand right there?
This is the new thing that I'm obsessed with, which is my peppermint hand sanitizer by EO.
Thank you so much for coming. When's the next BeautyCon? When are you coming back?
December 3rd, London.
Oh my God.
You just fanned out big time.
I have to go.
Every single major big UK star will be
They're
there.
They're going to go mental.
We did London last year. We did Dubai last year. Okay. It's going to be awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You gave us such great info.
Thanks for having me.
Jess, is it weird that I asked for Farsi lessons on the way out the door of Moj?
No, you guys had such a nice connection.
That was crazy. So guess what time it is?
It's time to raise a wand. Never going to get it right. It's always going to be embarrassing for everyone. I'm sorry.
I can't with that song.
It's
that was
time,
horrible.
It's time to raise
what
a wand.
What are you raising a wand to?
Okay. We're going to have a ban soon, I know, with me and Charlotte, but I'm sorry. Like, every product, right now, all I want is comfort. I'm in a state of transition. I just want to know what I'm getting, you know?
Is this going to be Charlotte Tilbury lipstick?
Yes.
All right. What about it?
But I'm not going for, like, the big, like, FU colors or anything like that.
Tell me.
I found, like, just the perfect daily lipstick. I actually saw it on my friend Alex. What up, Alex? It's called Bitch Perfect. She went to go pick me up one day.
What a good name.
And Alex has, like, this amazing personality that's just, like, very, like, she's not a bitch, but she's, like, she knows what she wants. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my God, you look amazing. And she's like, it's Charlotte. And I was like, what is she? She's like, Bitch Perfect. Like, kind of like, of course. And I ran and got it. I love it. It's
Give it
the perfect,
here.
Like, pale, like, nudish pink. And it's, like, work appropriate. I just feel polished. It's so comfy. Lasts for a long time. It doesn't dry your lips. And I just, like, it's like that comfy little, like, office cardi that you put on.
There's a teeny bit of, like, it's not shimmer, but it's, like.
No, it just has a little, like, you don't look dead. It's just that perfect little soft
I feel
hit
like
of
I would
pink.
Look like Magda from Something
About,
Mary.
About
Mary. That color.
No, it's honestly, it's just like a little soft sex kitten pink.
Very pretty. It looks
but
good
like,
on you.
But you can, like, wear it to work.
I don't
look like a sex kitten, do I?
That little face you were just doing, yes, totally. Or just tired. Can't tell. good. Then my raise the wand will help
yes,
you.
Yes, I look permanently exhausted. Help me.
Okay, so put on your Bitch Perfect, and then...
Bitch Perfect.
I mentioned this briefly in our beauty sleep thing, but I realized I didn't do it justice. I've never been an eye cream person. I just feel like, why can't I just put my moisturizer around my eyes? But I have tried Skin Medica TNS Illuminating Eye Cream for the last 3 weeks. I brought it to Europe, did the whole jet lag thing. The shit is the bomb. I don't know why, but other than a regular eye cream, it does more than just moisturize. So, like, it has a little bit of an illuminating quality. But then, you know how I love a growth factor? It's packed with TNS's growth factor. It's a human fibroblast condition medium. Am I freaking you out?
No, I just like that was a lot of verbiage.
Okay, think about it this way. Retinol is a great anti-ager, but it can really be irritating. Mm-hmm. It takes forever to work, and you wouldn't really want to put it around your eyes.
Yeah, I don't get down with retinol.
The conditioned medium, which is growth factors, it does all that good stuff of retinol, but none of the pain. Plus an illuminating eye cream base.
And don't quote me, but I remember like the time when like Oprah was obsessed with Skin Medica, and I was like, oh my God, this stuff must really work.
I thought I was discovering it first. Anyway, so I packed this and no moisturizer for my trip. And I've also been using it on the lines around my, like the little lines around my mouth.
Marionette lines?
Yeah, and it's like a great moisturizer too. I mean, I'm
oh, so you're using it all over the face?
Yeah, even though it's a little pricey. It's like $90. But so far, this thing has lasted a month and I've been pumping it out every morning and night, so.
Nice. Well, your skin does look good.
Okay, so I'll get some Bitch Perfect to add with it.
Bitch Perfect.
We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode. So I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at fatmascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys.